Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me, telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet, so what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of three pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast.
The kettle's boiled, Vic.
Great. Perfect timing. Just a dash of milk for me, please, mate.
Here you go. Shall we get started then?
Have you ever woken up on a Sunday morning and said, I'm never drinking again, and then found yourself waving 50 bucks at a barman by happy hour?
Are you wondering why everyone else can stop at one, while you head to a dodgy after party with a weird bloke called Disco Dave? If so, it might be time to take a deeper look at your relationship with your reliable social crutch, alcohol.
On each episode, we'll investigate our own dysfunctional dealings with booze and find out if it's possible to stop this deeply ingrained habit before things get too messy.
Yep, we're going to open up a shame shed of humiliating drinking stories to help you understand why waking up from a booze coma each weekend with a kebab sticking out of your top pocket might actually be negatively impacting your health.
Hamish and I are here to delve into what it's like being sober, an unwanted warts and all look into why giving up those cheeky pints or putting down those mummy wines will make you feel happier, help your anxiety and mental health, and turn you into the most sparkly, authentic version of you.
Won't that mean I become boring, though, Vic?
Well, Hamish, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm Victoria Vanstone.
I'm Hamish Adams-Cairns.
And this is Sober Awkward.
So I had a thought this morning, Vic, on the drive here.
Oh, well done.
I actually thought... thank you. I don't have many, generally. It's usually just...
No.
Just...
Yeah.
With my brain.
White
and then
noise.
Something comes in.
Yeah.
And it's actually...
Mama.
Arguably, to give you an example of how not intelligent I am, I think you know that because we've known each other for a couple of years.
Yeah.
It took me until today to realise that your book title, A Thousand Wasted Sundays...
Yes.
...meant both wasted as in... not time well spent, and wasted as in drunk.
Oh, God, Hamish, that's taking you far
too
long. I
only understood one of the wasteds until today. And I've also, the second thought that I have, is arguably a better title for the book.
Oh, yes, okay, great.
So I've been thinking about the use of the word party, and you have always described yourself as an ex-party girl.
Yes.
And now class A party pooper.
Correct.
And I thought of the worst uses of the word party. Party is usually fun, good times,
yes,
like a party's a good thing.
Yeah.
Why do we use the word party in funeral party?
Yes.
And search party?
Oh, yes, party.
There's nothing party about a search party or
no,
a funeral party.
No, party must mean group. It must be from the Latin for group.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah.
Carry on improvising that thought.
Partintitata.
Ah, partitum.
partatum.
But is there a worse party than a funeral party or a search party?
No, search party is the worst.
Awful.
I've had search parties out looking for me before.
Have you?
Yes. Just with drunken nights out where I didn't come home and then friends asking where I am and then not texting them back.
Funny you say that. I was part of a 3-person search party this week looking for Sonny's tiger.
Oh, gosh,
we lost
yes.
Tiger. It's you the one teddy tiger. Bear that he's grown very attached to, and we lost it.
Do you know what happened to me yesterday, Hamish? It's slightly worse. I had Nelly's birthday party at the Plaza, and I took them into the child gambling room. You know where that is.
The child gambling
it's
room.
It's one of those places with dingy machines, you know, where they put coins in, play games. It's basically child gambling, okay, but they sell it as a fun house.
Game zone or something.
Yeah, game zone, okay, yeah. They sell it as that, but actually, yeah, it's child gambling. And I lost one of the children.
Which one?
Her little friend Eve.
Oh, one of her
yeah,
mates.
So I was the parent. I had 4 little girls with me. And suddenly I looked around and one of them wasn't there. So I ran straight over and they had to put a tannoy, had to put a search party out. Oh. I did a loop and a man found her outside crying. Why? I had to tell my friend Michelle when she came to pick her up. I said, just so it comes from me, I did lose your daughter for about 1 minute.
Why was she crying? She got
because she just got lost and she just kind of got separated from us and then couldn't see us. And she was like, oh my God, I'm lost now. God. And she must have been going the opposite way than I was. And we would just kept missing each other. And they were like, what's she wearing? I was like, oh God, I don't know what she was wearing. Like, why would I know? And I got myself in a right old pickle. It felt like 10 minutes. It was probably 30 seconds.
I was gonna say, what does that feel like? It's bad losing
horrible.
Your own child. Yeah. Losing someone else's is maybe worse.
I was like worst case scenario straight away in my brain. I was like, oh my God, I've just lost my friend's child. This is going to be the worst thing ever. But it was fine. Everyone was fine. I explained to my friend Michelle.
And she's
who was very
one of the lovely mums. If you're going to lose anyone's child, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
This is not like a new kid with a new mum that you don't
No. It was my best mate.
Oh,
so yeah,
God.
Sorry, Michelle. She forgave me very quickly. But I'm not sure she'll let me babysit again.
Yeah, she's not coming to Nelly's next birthday.
Oh, do you want to come over for a play date? She'll be like, no, no way.
So I've written this episode and it is entirely inspired by two things.
Okay, interesting. I love your episode, Hamish, because I'm never quite sure what's going to happen next.
They are odd sometimes.
They are odd, yeah.
So the first one was that I bought a round of soda waters.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought I'd be generous. Mine and Liz's and a friend of ours. How much is the soda water going to be?
Surely,
right?
Yeah. Well, how much was it?
It was quite sad. We were in a bar. We did the dinner.
Yeah.
And then from the dinner, we went to the bar. It was a birthday. So it's like I was in a bar. Everyone got cocktails. And the three of us down our end of the table all got soda waters.
So sweet.
Guess how much?
$5?
$14.
Oh, my God. For $14. Three soda waters.
You did it out of one of the guns, like little soda water guns.
Not. It wasn't even the king of soda waters.
It wasn't even a cucumber.
Wasn't
and
the San Pellegrino.
Wasn't even that.
No cucumber.
I'm sure I could have bought a bottle of soda water, like the San Pellegrino sexy one, rather than get 3 out of the guns, would have been the same price.
You could have infused your own piss for that.
Yeah.
Mm.
With a bit of lemon, a bit of cucumber.
A bit of lemon,
lovely.
Yeah, lovely.
So it was partly inspired by that and partly inspired by this water bottle, which I've brought with me.
You know, I've got the same one.
Do you have the same one?
Yeah, it's Kmart, isn't it?
I've always wanted it.
Yeah, I've got a pink one.
I got it as a gift. So I'll describe this to you listeners. This is, I think it's 2 litres.
I'm going to take a photo of you while you're describing it.
I think it's 2 litres, which is like about as much water as a bucket could hold. And on one side, it gives you the sort of millilitres. And on the other side, it gives you timings and words of support. So it's a 7 a.m, good morning, 9 a.m, hydrate yourself, remember your goal, keep chugging, feeling awesome, don't get up, almost finished, and you did it. I've been trying. It's sort of that's the amount that you should drink in a day. I actually found out from my research for this episode, this is the amount that a woman should drink. A man is slightly more. And I'm yet to make it through this challenge. Can you do it? You've got this bowl. Have you ever done it? Drunk the entire thing in 24 hours?
No.
I get to about halfway and I bring it to the... I don't drink anything not out of this now. I like bring this with me into shops.
Are you finishing it?
I've never done it.
No, okay.
I've actually done really well
today. Let's have a challenge tomorrow where we both have to drink our bottles in one day.
I do it every day and I can't do it. I've had this for over a week.
Well, no, but I know you like a challenge. We're just saying in the last episode how you like a challenge. If I say to you, we both have to drink that in one day for the podcast.
Should we send each other texts at 7 a.m., yeah. 9 a.m., 11 a.m.?
We have to do it for the podcast, for the listeners. It's like a challenge to drink that much water. Is it 3 litres?
That, I think, is 2. But so I think I'm right in saying this is two.
I'd say that's three.
As I'll say in the episode, women are meant to have two a day, men are meant to have three.
Oh, because we have tiny little bladders.
Only because you have smaller brains.
Yes, small brains and small bladders. Because we like looking at puppies every afternoon.
I'm outside, you know, like digging holes all day, and you're inside stitching.
I just look after the children all day, so I don't need much water because I don't go outside because I'm doing the washing up.
This is not a clip that we can cut up and put the captions on. If people read that, they would think we are so sexist.
Yeah, they wouldn't hear our sarcastic tone. Yeah.
So that got me in the headspace of thinking about water. And I thought, how have we gone, however many episodes we've done, and never done an episode on water? Because it is a massive subject within sobriety.
It is, so is. I would say that 90% of sober folks listening to this would admit that their water is now the drink they consume more than any other. Tap, filtered, sparkling, with a touch of something, concentrate perhaps, in tea, however it is you drink it, your water consumption goes through the roof when you stop drinking booze.
And yet, many of us feel a little boring when we order a soda water as our friends dish out another round of shots. So, here is my aim with this episode.
Okay.
I'm going to say it at the start and we'll see if I achieve it by the end.
Okay, great.
I want you to better understand the benefits of upping your water intake.
Wait, I wondered why I couldn't see Hamish because I've actually got my long glasses on. I was stumbling over my words there. Look,
have you been wearing those all day?
Yeah, I've been wearing the wrong ones.
Is that why you've been so shit for the last 2 hours?
Why can't I see? Why is the room dark?
You're interrupting my political...
Sorry.
This is what I'm going to achieve if
I
you vote me
in.
I
can't hear either.
You're not wearing your ear defenders.
Yeah.
Hearing aids.
Ear defenders.
Hearing aids. That is one of the poshest things I've ever said on the podcast.
Ear defenders.
That's what you wear when you go shooting.
Is it? Oh, God, when you go shooting in the country with your
Let's
dogs.
Just let that slowly sink
Darling,
in and disappear.
Where are the dogs? They're in the West Wing. Yes.
Just forget I said that.
We all know Hamish is very posh.
Listen, this is my political thing. My second point. I'm going to dispel some of the myths you'll be telling yourself about alcoholic drinks containing lots of water. So how bad can they be? Mm. And I'm hopefully going to make you feel a little less dull and a little more smug, if that's even possible at this stage, about the aqua over cerveza orders.
Oh, aqua over cerveza.
Cerveza, por favor.
Oh, that's
Biblioteca.
Good. Is that all the Spanish you can have? Is that all the Spanish
that
you
I can,
have?
That I can take.
That's all the Spanish I can take. That's all I know. Bloody hell, Hamish. Ambitious episode. Good luck trying to make me feel not so dull about ordering water. Anyway, as they say, no funny stories ever start with a salad. I think this is the same, actually. No good stories start with a glass of San Pellegrino. Wait, are you ready for this?
I'm not ready for this. I think you're going to try and pun me to death.
I am actually going to pun you to death now. Do you want to do a ding noise when I do a pun?
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay.
Yeah. God damn it.
Ding.
I knew this was going to be a drain, ding. Hamish. I'm sure you're ding. About to flood me ding. With facts and a long stream ding. Of statistics, but I guess I'm due ding. An outpouring of ding. Advice from you. Or
ding.
At least a drenching ding. Of opinions. So I'm ready. Take it away, geezer.
Ding. Thank you for really emphasising the pun so I didn't miss any dings.
I worked for, can you imagine how hard I worked on that, Hamish?
How did you do it? Did you Google like words to do with water or something?
Yes, I did, yeah. Too much?
I reckon that two or three sentences took you longer than it took me to do the whole episode.
Yeah, did, yeah.
It was a bit much, yes.
Okay, yeah, but truly, I would love to feel better about ordering water. Ding?
No, I can't do a ding every ding. Time there's a water.
I can't. I'm going to do it the whole way through. Although this is going to be a mission, I think, this episode. Hamish?
I know, Vic, so bear with me. This is a research-heavy episode, so I'm hoping that stats and science will be able to help me out in making you feel less dull.
Making this episode feel less dull is going to be hard, but we're going to go for it. Let's do it.
Okay, I think the obvious place to start is with how much water we should be drinking every day.
Oh, the ladies.
As I said, the ladies. Well, men are going to have 3 litres a day. That's 13 cups.
Okay. Whilst women should be drinking somewhere in the range of 9 cups, it's just over 2 litres.
Now, obviously, these numbers vary slightly depending on what activity you're doing, your health, your temperatures that you're in. But when I first read those stats, and this is maybe my drinking brain talking, my first thought was, I haven't got a clue what 3 litres or 13 cups actually looks like. So let me put this in drinking language for anyone in the same boat as me. Men, 3 litres of water is the equivalent of 5 1/4 pints or 12 large wine glasses.
Gosh, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yes.
For women, 2 litres is 3 1/2 pints or 8 large wine glasses of water.
If you're a shot drinker, then 3 litres is 99 1-ounce shots, whilst 2 ounces is 66.
I like that we're putting it in drinking terms.
I thought I had to. Yeah, otherwise, well, I don't know how much a cup is.
Yeah, I don't know how a cup is. It's only for like measuring flour a cup. Yeah.
So, Vic, weird question. What is your relationship with water like?
Ding.
Have you ever, during your drinking Ding. Days or while sober, managed to drink Ding. The recommended daily amount?
I actually don't drink enough. I'm not sure anybody does. Like,
I know.
I just forget, especially if it's winter. I'm not very good at drinking water at all then. I do bring my... It is 750 litres, I think, my bottle. That can't be right. It's got to be more than that.
Because I spent so much...
Because no, I've actually mentioned...
Well, it says 64 ounces.
Okay.
But then there's more to fill
there's
up
more,
after
okay.
that. And I don't know what I've got. It's 64 ounces. I've got a clue.
I think sometimes people are from very water-drinking families. I know that sounds weird. Like we're a group of elephants or something like that.
Okay.
But no one in my family's ever drunk water. My mum sits, there's a glass of water that sits near the fridge that she drinks out of all day with a little bit of cordial in it.
Yeah.
My nan, I never ever saw her drink any water ever. In fact, I think my nan only ate Mr. Kipling's Fondant Fancies for the last 30 years of her life. I never saw her drink anything apart from maybe a small glass of sherry. Never, ever a glass of water or cups of tea she drank. I guess a lot of English people drink this amount of litres of water in their tea.
Sure.
And I wonder if it has the same benefits. Probably not. I was more of an orange squash drinker, Hamish, as a youth. And then it was alcohol. So there was no kind of water period. I wasn't
It's
like,
a bit weird drinking squash as an adult, isn't
yes.
it? It's kind of a kid's drink. I'm
all for it.
I'm all for elderflower. I don't think I'd drink Robinson's anymore.
I would drink Robinson's. That would be my favourite. Robinson's and a biscuit while wearing an appy.
We should approach Robinson's for a sponsorship. I didn't know you were so passionate. Or Huggies.
That's what me and John do on a Saturday night when the kids have gone to bed.
Is that why you got babysitter on Saturday?
Darling. Robinson's and a biscuit.
Go on, get the nappies. I'll get the dummies.
I do know I feel better when I drink more water. I just can't remember for some reason. It's ridiculous. Mm. I did read about dry fasting recently. Have you heard about this?
No.
It was quite an interesting article. It's an extreme fad where people don't drink water and absorb it through fruit and vegetables. I wonder how their visits to the compost toilet went after that.
Wow.
Yeah. That's-
Why would you do that?
Because, yes, it's
who,
a fad.
What science says don't drink water?
Yeah, no science. It's just one of those weird extreme fads that people do. Also, there's a man in Gujarat in India who never ate or drank anything, even a fondant fancy, Hamish.
Even that.
No. His name was Prahadjani, and he lived for more than 70 years by absorbing water through a hole in his palate. He is regarded as a holy man by some and a fraud by many, but scientists are baffled by him. Imagine that, not even an Orangina on holiday.
What do you mean it threw a hole in his palate?
That's what I couldn't understand. I didn't bother reading
on. Isn't the palate in the mouth?
I couldn't understand, like, what, dripping down from his brain or something. Where's he getting the water from?
I think if it's I would say a hole in your palate is in your mouth. So is he pouring it into his hole in his palate before it reaches the throat?
Well, I think he was just a con man. I think that was kind
That's
of he
a
was
bit
yeah,
like a con man
yeah.
to me.
I don't think you can survive without drinking water. But somehow my nan did, my mum does, and I sort of do too.
That's a good point. Yeah. We've got four. It's you three and then this fella from Gujarat.
Yeah, we don't drink water at all, but we are still here. What about you?
I'm not even close. This water bottle, I think I get halfway through. I get to the 3 p.m. mark and then that's me done. But do you want to know something about me, which is you don't need to know? I pee 3 or 4 times a night.
Okay, in the night?
Yeah.
That's annoying.
I watched a Huberman Lab thing on it today about like how you can stop doing that. Even he has 3 tips. They're all kind of shit. He's like, drink enough water during the day so you haven't got to drink too much at night.
Right, okay, well, obviously.
I understand, stop drinking before you go to sleep. Okay, I get
okay,
I sort of
yeah,
know
well
that.
Done.
And what was the third one? They're all sort of like, duh.
Yeah.
Which I've never listened to Huberman on duh because he's so beyond me.
I wonder what Huberman would think of you when he listens to this podcast.
Just constantly duh for an hour. Surely I drink too much because I pee all night, but I don't drink not even half the amount I should.
Maybe you're absorbing it, just dripping out of your palate.
That's it. Maybe it's just slowly dripping out of my palate. I've got the same hole that Gujarat's got. Gujarat wasn't his name. No. I did go through a stage of drinking a flower pot of water before going to bed if I'd been drinking. I had like a big flower pot, probably the size of this water bottle, and I was convinced if I drank, filled it with water and drank it, then I wouldn't get a hangover in the morning.
Why didn't you just use a glass?
Because a glass is the size of a glass and a flower pot is like much bigger.
Oh my God, that is so weird.
Because then you got you refill a glass over and over again with a flower pot.
That is one so big lazy. Drink. Yeah. Did it have a flower in it still?
No. Okay. And it never worked. I still got hangovers. But, you know, that was probably, in terms of my water consumption, that was probably the healthiest I've ever been.
The flower pot days.
The flower pot days, yeah. I've never been a big water drinker. Like, not when I was a drinker, not now. And I work for a water company. I'm That's aware true. Of the irony of that. Yeah. My job is to sell and rent out water machines.
You've got it running through your fingers, haven't you?
And I don't drink it.
Yep.
Well, I'm the fraud, really. I'm really the fraud. I do like elderflower, though. I know that you drink Robinson's. Elderflower is my drink.
Yes, elderflower.
And actually,
good.
We invited an English girl over for lunch recently, and she brought elderflower. And I was like, I'm going to like you.
It's the sort of thing you'd have in a Tudor building near a country lane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that feels very, very English, elderflower, doesn't it?
So
hollyhocks
English.
And elderflower.
I just love it. And I also worked on an elderflower farm. It's my farm work here.
Oh, did you?
But wrong time of year, so I had to do olives.
Oh, damn it.
Got it. I think it's the only elderflower farm in Australia. Anyway, a little fun fact for you there.
Crazy Ashbolt days.
Farm in
Those
Tasmania.
Were the days, Haim.
If you want to link up, Ashbolt Farm in Tasmania, I'll happily put you in touch.
Back on the elderflower farm. Yeah.
I actually didn't know, this is a real sign of how little water I drink, I didn't know they charged for it in pubs.
They don't.
I thought, I paid $13. I thought it was free.
It's because they add a sparkle. How much does air bubbles cost? It's only air, isn't it?
Exactly.
What the hell's going on there?
So I didn't know that. It's a complete piss take.
They always charge me for it.
Do they?
In fact, I like to go back to pubs who don't charge me for it because I get so fed up of paying for it. It actually pisses me off.
Oh, it was like my inherent stinginess comes out in a restaurant when they're like, can we get you a water? I'm like, tap.
Yeah.
Oh, before they even get out a tap, please.
Yeah.
And then they have to go, you know, it is on the house, like, good, sparkling.
Yeah.
get me the sexy sparkling one.
Oh, my local cafe has sparkling on tap.
Oh, it's my favourite thing. I know where does sparkling on tap, and those are the places that we eat and drink at more often.
Yes. That would be the one thing, if anyone ever wants to buy me a really nice Christmas present, they're expensive. It's like $3,000.
Sparkling water on tap.
Yeah, sparkling next to the sink.
I sell them. That's my,
my
job.
Do you? I might get one. Do I get a discount?
It's like $6,000.
It's $6,000.
$6,000 if it's one that is boiling and chilled and sparkling. Yeah.
Shit.
I think a soda stream's better. I nearly bought Liz a soda stream for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
And I thought it's such a dull gift.
No, it's not.
I was going to get the really good one. It was like $150.
Yeah, get that. That's a good present.
We have one.
Yeah.
The cheaper one.
Yeah.
Is it good as a gift?
I'd say it's good as a gift.
I am talking an episode about how water's not boring, but I do think getting someone a water appliance as a gift is a bit dull.
Yeah, fair enough.
You've come across as dull just there. Yeah.
No, I would be excited by that.
Yeah, it's a cool thing to own, but I think as a gift, I'd be disappointed.
Okay, fair enough.
But I did give her a Hoover and it was the best gift she's ever been given.
Okay, well, there you go. She's easily pleased, at least.
Cheap date. I was 100% under the impression that if I drank 5 pints of beer, most of that was surely water, so at least that bit was good for me.
Were you in that circle of... Convincing yourself otherwise.
Were you in that school of thought?
No.
Okay, you're smarter than me. I did know that I seemed to pee out 5.5 pints, so the maths didn't really work out. So I'm peeing more than I'm drinking.
Okay, that doesn't work
out. I wasn't peeing into a pint glass and actually doing the science on it, but I was like, maybe I am getting dehydrated here. There were flaws in my theory of water in beer, therefore it must be good for me.
It was lucky you weren't in the Hells Angels, because I think you have to drink a pint of piss and a pint of vomit to join that. So
that
if you had gone and pissed in a pint glass, you could have probably joined a motorbike gang.
Yeah, but then I could have given the spare half pint to the person next to me.
Yes, they would have appreciated that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you were not lying to yourself about the water and alcohol.
I knew the water in alcohol didn't work in the same way, because I knew it wasn't doing me any good, because I didn't feel good, because I felt like shit all the time. So how could water be doing me good, because I felt so ill and hungover all the time? The problem with me as a drinker, Hamish, was that I was a puker. So anything that I did consume came out actually quite quickly. Mm. I would puke throughout the night. So I would drink too much, poison my body, smoking as well. Smoking always made me retch, which often made me sick. And I would go and puke and then drink more. So I think I was actually dehydrated. Any alcohol or liquid that was going into my body was coming out again, whether I was going to the toilet or vomiting. Mm-hmm. I couldn't keep water in me. I couldn't keep anything down when I was a massive drinker. I actually thought it was very funny that I puked a lot when I was a drinker. I just thought it was kind of par of the course. Is that the how you say it? Par for the course?
Par for the course.
Par for the course, yes.
You're thinking of parkour. Par for the course is a golf reference.
Okay.
Parkour is free running.
Yeah, I do both. But I used to down pints of water before I went out because I thought it was going to help me.
Yeah.
So I was kind of convinced that water would help me on a night out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd have a couple of pints of water before I went out to meet mates. I also placed pints of water on my bedside table before I went out so that when I came home, smart, I didn't have to organise it and I could just pass out and there'd be one next to my bed when I woke up. I did see water as the cure, that it would replenish me and rid me of illness. I definitely knew that water was good. I thought it soaked up my hangover and made me better. It was like good versus evil, tequila shots being the evil and water kind of being my saviour. Pints of it and showers in it were how I cured myself from binking gingers.
Binking gingers. Binking gingers.
I keep
kind
doing
of sounds
this.
Like you're having sex with a ginger person.
Yeah, I was. And drinking gingers. I had sex with ginger people after my drinking binges. But I knew even though I was consuming a liquid, that sounds horrible.
It's got me good. Binking gingers.
Bonking gingers. When I combined it with booze, I knew it was toxic for me because I knew the booze was toxic, even though I did it all the time. But like, I did feel like me drinking water could possibly help.
What's the worst drink? I don't mean like beer or cider. What's the worst drink that you've ever drunk at any point in your life?
The most disgusting was the coconut, fermented coconuts that I had in India.
Was it meant to be an alcoholic drink?
It was an alcoholic drink. You had to go to this special bar that was by a river. You had to go into this secret room because no one drinks over there and you had to drink it out of a teacup. And it was literally fermented coconuts. So it tasted like rotten fruit. It was like the purest form of alcohol you could drink. Everyone in there was absolutely wasted, like red-eyed drunk, stumbling out. And it was, and I thought, oh, this will be fun. And it was absolutely disgusting. It was.
Throw up?
I don't think I could even have more than one sip of it. It was absolutely revolting. Some of these sort of hooches that people make in prison, it would have been similar to that. Just fermented fruit, like rotting fruit, was disgusting.
The only reason I ask is when you said about leaving the glass of water on your bedside table, so when you wake up, it's there.
Mm.
I've had a few. Well, you know, you wake up, you're hungover, you've got the dry throat. And like all you need is a sip of water.
Yeah.
And I've had it when you lean over and I've drunk.
Oh.
I've had vodka that was on the bedside table, but I would say also like a can of Sprite. I was like, okay, Sprite will do. And you have a swig and it's got a cigarette in it.
Oh.
And you're hungover and dry and you have a bloody sip of something with a cigarette in it.
That is so disgusting. Yeah. I love it that the normal drinker's got a bottle of vodka by his bed.
It wasn't a bottle of vodka. It was a half-made alcoholic drink that looked like water and I had a swig. I was like, a hangover.
I was once in Thailand, Hamish, and I had the worst hangover ever and I had an old can of Coke next to my bed. I was like, oh, yes, that's going to do the job. I took a sip and then I had something in my mouth. And it was the head of a lizard. It was dangling down out of my dead lizard.
What?
And I'd got the head in my mouth. I'm like, rah, 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 rah. Yeah.
And
pulled it out.
The coconut drink was worse than that.
It actually was. At least a dead lizard, I could just like fling it out the door.
That's freaking miserable.
Yeah, it was gross.
It's weird to think it's taken me 33 years of life and almost 2 years of sobriety to actually look into this. But better late than never. Beer typically contains 90 to 95% of water by volume, whilst wine contains around 80 to 85%.
I think I'm just going to say here quickly, Hamish, which we were going to talk about in another episode, is it contains water and flavouring, doesn't it? Like all of these drinks that we're talking about, these alcoholic drinks, they taste flavouring to cover up the taste of alcohol, to cover up the taste of that ethanol, that coconut that I had. It's incredible that really all the drinks that we talk about, the wines, the beers, the tequilas and all these different liquors, they're made from water and alcohol, but then they add sugar and flavouring so that it tastes okay so we can consume it. It's really covering up the poison.
Well, all those like Smirnoff ones.
Yeah.
When you first get into drinking, you have beer, like, okay, beer is obviously a terrible drink.
Yeah.
And then Smirnoff, and you're like, those are delicious. They are sweet.
Yeah.
And they are multicolored. And you go, yeah, I'm into this. I'm 14, 15.
Yeah, they're like kids' drinks, aren't they? Yeah. It's really toxic, actually. And it's really bad for, you know, kids will want to drink that stuff when they reach 14 or 15. Gin is about 30 to 65% water, whilst vodka is in the range of 40 to 60%.
So the obvious question, or I thought it was obvious, but Vic is intelligenter. Oh,
shit. Yes, she's much more intelligent than you.
I tell you what Liz said last night was, what? Instead of 101st, she went 101th. 101th is...
Poor Liz, she's not getting good reputation.
We don't help each
episode,
other out.
Yeah.
We're both dumb. Anyway, if the alcoholic drinks we are consuming are mostly made up of water, then are they hydrating us?
Well, you'd think so, but actually the opposite can be true. Alcohol is a diuretic, which is a fancy way of saying it makes you pee. It causes your body to remove fluids from your blood through your renal system, which includes the kidneys, the ureters.
Sure.
The bladder, and at a much quicker rate than other liquids.
So the higher the percentage of alcohol in a drink, the more of a diuretic it is. To really simplify this, diuretics cause us to urinate, and if you're peeing out more than you're taking in, you are dehydrating. Basically, the alcohol in the drink is worse for you than the water in it is good.
Yeah, right, that makes sense.
That's the full idiot-proof explanation
so
of what's going on.
It's actually making you thirsty. I wonder if the more you drink, the thirstier you become. Is that, like, another reason why you'd want more alcohol?
It has to be, right?
Yeah.
You can't sit down and drink 8 pints of any other drink.
Yeah, right,
you can't.
It has to
have alcohol in it.
I always wondered that. Like, I could easily sit and drink quite a few pints of lager. And as you say, we can't finish that thing of water there. Like, how did we manage to get so many pints? I thought, I would puke and I peed. But also, we're actually wanting more, even though it's not doing anything to us. Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me, telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet. So what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of 3 pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast. It's really fucked up. So that basically is dehydration.
So dehydration is when the body does not have sufficient amounts of fluid to function effectively. The effects of dehydration can be split into 3 categories, all right? So we've got mild, moderate, and severe.
Mild symptoms include thirst, headache, and dark urine.
Moderate to severe include symptoms like dizziness, delirium, and fainting.
John ran into the lounge the other day, like really upset, like going, Vic, come and look at my pee, come and look at my pee. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, I've got blood in my pee. I was like, oh God, we've got to go to the doctors. And then we realised he'd eaten loads of beetroot the night before.
I've had that. I actually had that when I went to the loo and I must have not flushed. Yeah. And I went downstairs, my mum came down and was like, do we need to talk about "Do we need to talk about this, Haim?" I was like, "What?" She goes, "The blood in your pee." I was like, "We had beetroot for lunch." Oh, yeah.
That's funny, isn't it? Yeah, and without treatment, severe dehydration can cause serious complications. Electrolyte imbalances, kidney problems, shock, coma, and death. Yay!
It's not just your increase in peeing, which means the water in your alcoholic drinks is not actually doing you any good, though.
Many of us used to drink on an empty stomach because we are cheapskates and it seemed to get us drunk faster. Without food in the stomach, alcohol goes straight into the bloodstream instead of being absorbed more slowly through the stomach and small intestine. As such, drinking on an empty stomach can contribute to dehydration.
Alcohol also suppresses appetite, except for those late-night kebabs, obviously, which also speeds up the alcohol absorption and dehydrating effects.
And finally, drinking alcohol decreases the ability of the kidneys to filter the blood and maintain the balance of fluids and electrolytes in the body. It suppresses the release of the antidiuretic hormone vasopressin, which controls how much water the kidneys reabsorb and retain. This reduces fluid retention and increases urination.
A lot of pee chat, isn't it?
A lot of pee chat,
I say it's
yeah.
an episode about water. It's a lot of pee chat.
Ever peed yourself?
Not recently.
Mm.
I can't remember the last time I peed myself.
Shut yourself.
Have you? Liz pees herself quite often.
Women, but we pee ourselves all the time.
Yeah, like when you laugh or cough or sneeze or like do yeah. something in the gym. Do you get yeah. that? If you do like something heavy in the gym, you pee?
All the time. Anytime, anything.
Why women pee themselves more than men?
It just gets a bit loose down there after having a baby. He's curled over in embarrassment.
You know what? I don't know if you've re-listened. I was on the weekly Offload podcast recently.
Yeah.
And Matt, the friend of mine who was interviewing, who hosts the podcast, he said he finds your voice quite sexy.
Oh, my God.
And then
you're
say
joking.
Things like, it gets a bit loose down there after you've had a baby.
I have never, ever been called sexy.
I know. She
he loves it.
He's like, I'm happily married. I know that Vic's happily married, but I find her voice very attractive.
Oh, my God.
You need to listen to the podcast.
Don't let me meet him. He'll be very disappointed. You know. All right, mate.
I'm a bit loose down here. I've got 3 kids.
Absolutely revolted.
I'll whistle
by
in
me.
The wind.
I'll take it back, Hamish. She's rough. Oh, dear.
But for those of you unlucky enough to sweat or vomit your way through a hangover, your alcohol consumption is also causing you to dehydrate yourself even further. Vic, how do you feel? And I think this is such a big topic in sobriety. How do you feel when you order a fizzy water at a pub?
I feel like a bad customer.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do. Remember
like,
I went to
like
Thailand.
You have a cup of tea and then sit there for an hour and a half on
yeah,
the laptop.
Yeah. yeah. Like the mums going into the cafe and having one cup of tea and then their toddlers destroying
yeah,
the whole
yeah,
place.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that. And in Thailand, remember, I used to be a good customer. Mm. I would drink the bar dry wherever I went. I would be the big spender. Now I'm the small spender. I'd have one glass of fizzy water. I'd probably get a bottle of tap water for the kids. I am a terrible customer and I feel quite guilty about it. But at the same time, I guess I have spent a lot of money in bars over my time.
Well, I was going to say, the only other time you've been a bad customer in a bar was when you owned the bar and you drank the place dry.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Either way, if I was in a bar, it wasn't good. Yeah, I feel weird because even though it's been happening for nearly 6 years, I still feel boring when I say, please, can I have a fizzy water?
Yeah.
I can't get my head round not feeling boring about that. Mm. It's annoying. It really is annoying. But, like, I need to own that a bit more. It's a bit like John eating his vanilla ice cream, isn't it?
Oh, let's not get into that.
Come on, let's get into it.
Okay. Yes, this is your story to tell. Tell it.
Well, no, just my husband. Whenever we go for an ice cream, he just only will have vanilla. It's so annoying.
His whole life, that has been his favourite flavour.
Okay, I'm going to hit you with something else now.
Go on.
He doesn't like condiments. I'm not joking. So he will have a bacon sandwich. He doesn't have HP or tomato sauce. He doesn't dip his chips in tomato sauce. He doesn't really have salt and pepper. He hates mayonnaise. He
hates condiments.
He hates condiments.
Are we just slagging off Liz and John today?
He's fucked up. I'm going to get a divorce.
Well, Liz broke up with a guy because they went out for lunch and he ordered sides instead of a main. And she was like, I'm not having that.
Yeah.
But what? Literally,
I'm with her.
They'd broken up by the time the bill came. They were no
it was
longer
over.
Together. Yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I told the story about John only ordering vanilla ice cream on the radio, and he was listening.
<That's>
like I saw him that day. He was like, "Hey, I heard the vanilla comment." Oh, like shit!
It's just the word vanilla. It's like having vanilla wallpaper. It's just like.
But it's what I was going to say. It's okay, like at home having a tub of vanilla. But I don't even think that's okay. It's like, yeah, we took your kids to Ben and Jerry's and they got all the flavours. Yeah. And John just one scoop of vanilla.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
It is embarrassing. It's worse than ordering water at a pub.
It is. It's worse. I wonder if choosing vanilla is the sobriety of the ice cream world.
I think you're right. It is dull, isn't it?
I reckon a big drinker would go in there like, I want rainbow flavour with sprinkles on. Like, give me a straw and give me a chocolate sauce. Yeah. Oh, they'd be all over it. But now we're like, oh, can I have a vanilla, please?
That would be a good topic that our listeners can email us.
Yes.
Is if you're still drinking, or actually the equivalent of ordering a water in a pub.
Yes.
We want to hear other categories of that.
Yes.
Yeah. So vanilla is the ice cream equivalent. Any others you can think of?
A margarita pizza.
Margarita pizza's a good one.
Yes.
Very good. Although I recently watched like a cooking show about pizzas.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, you have to order margarita from every place. Because that's like what the true Italian connoisseurs do. That's what I'm now doing with coffee, is that I now order the filter coffee. I don't get the milk and the cappuccino and that because last week I became an arsehole with coffee.
Okay, yeah.
I've got into a new fad.
I did notice that you'd become
an arsehole
with coffee.
Do you realise that? I'm now sitting with my legs crossed. I'm sort of speaking like
you
a sort
are,
of coffee
you look like
arsehole.
A twat.
Thank you. Yeah. So that, the black filter coffee is the arsehole. It's the water in a pub version of coffee.
Have you put your chair a little bit higher up?
Yeah, so I can always look down my nose at you.
I thought you had. That is typical of you. I bet you have rum and raisin or something, don't you?
No,
oh, that's a good question,
that's
though.
Got rum in it.
Do people have alcohol-flavoured ice creams when they give up drinking? I wouldn't.
Just how many alcohol-flavoured ice
only
creams
only rum and
are
raisin,
there?
Probably.
Is there a champagne one?
No.
Rum and raisins.
John wouldn't be having
that. It's a weird combination anyway.
Rum and raisins.
Do you usually have, like, when you were drinking, do you have rum and a small...
Oh, get the raisins out.
It's not like a pirate thing, is it?
Rum and raisins.
Small handful of raisins with a glass of rum.
I don't know why. So he's come up with that. Must be an accident. Anyway, we've gone a bit off topic,
haven't we? We have gone a bit.
Talking about ice cream. I am still in the frame of mind that I hate sober people and therefore I hate fizzy water warriors. Therefore, I hate fizzy water. It's still me old drinking brain playing tricks on me, I guess. I'm glad there are a few more fizzy water options now, like give me a twist of lime, a sprig of mint, and I feel like you've just handed me a bottle of Bollinger.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just those tiny little extras make me feel very, very happy. Part of me still sort of hates myself for drinking so much fizzy water, but I've got to get better at it. But yeah,
you're in a weird cycle of you hate sober people and people that order water,
yeah,
and yet you're sober and you order water, therefore you hate yourself.
Yes, I am in that cycle. Yes,
you need to see a therapist about
so
that.
I am, I don't worry, I am. I'm in a cycle of self-hatred. So fun.
See, for me, I don't think I've actually ever ordered water in a pub until this week when I paid $13 for three. I like non-alcoholic drinks, so I don't feel like a prick ordering a non-alcoholic beer in a pub. But once I've had like three or four, I'm sort of done.
Yeah.
So what I quite appreciate is when a pub has got a water station. So okay, I haven't got to go up to I haven't got to queue up and get to the front of a barman and order a water.
But that's the stage we're at, isn't it? Like that's the sad state of affairs for sober people, isn't it? It's like we are excited by a water station at a pub. I mean, God.
I tell you what, when I did used to drink and Liz was pregnant, I don't know if I wonder if I ever went up and ordered like one beer and one sparkling water. She's pregnant. It's for her. It's not for me.
Yeah. You probably made that excuse. I'm not the dork here. She's the dork.
So I think
she's the pregnant one.
I then feel guilty if a friend of mine wants to buy me a round. I feel bad being like a water. So they have to go up and order three beers, two ciders and a water.
Yeah.
Then they have to do the shame talking.
But it works the other way around. Like on Saturday, somebody said to me and John, shall I get this round and you get the next one? Yeah. And I just thought, I'm not going to make you buy me alcohol-free drinks. Mm-hmm. Like, and I actually don't want to buy people alcohol drinks. So normally now I just say, no, we'll just get our own. And it seems really rude, but they kind of think we're weird anyway. So
I find
really
that question awkward because I'm like, I want to be part of rounds.
Yeah.
And actually, I think, well, it's not that expensive for them. But then actually, a non-alcoholic beer in a pub, it's kind of expensive. It's not that much less than a normal
beer.
No, it's
the same.
So, but then I have the same. I don't want to order alcohol.
Yeah.
So I sort of miss out on rounds.
It's funny, isn't it?
But you sound like a bit of a prick. No, we'll order our own. I'm sure I now do with when the I've got better when the bill comes at a restaurant.
Yeah, you are better at that now. Yeah, you shouldn't pay for
the people's
drinks.
Because usually there's like one other sober person at the table. And I get them to count the bill. I'm like, what are we? Because we're not on the wines and cocktails. Yeah.
My parents used to have this really annoying mate who used to literally, they'd go out for dinners and they'd split the bill at the end, but he would order literally $400 bottles of wine. And then he'd be like, "Lord, yeah, let's split the bill," when my parents hadn't drunk any. Mm. You always get one person like that, don't you?
Yeah.
It's always the drunk person going, "Yeah, it's fine, it's fine." It's actually, no, it's not fine, because you've drunk more than everybody else.
It's a good deal for them, though.
It is a good deal for
real
them.
Real smart.
Yeah, I think I've done it before. Okay, so now we know how much water you should be drinking, and we know that the water present in alcoholic drinks is not really helping us. And we've spoken about pee more often than I thought we would when I first woke up this morning. Anyway, but what are the benefits of our water intake going through the roof when we give up booze?
Yes, finally, the good news. When you go sober, you are going to drink a lot more water, be it in tea or coffee or sparkling water or however you want to dress it up, your intake's going to go through the roof. That is almost, I would say, a guarantee.
Yep.
And rather than beating yourself up about the fact it sounds a bit dull and it doesn't really give you those wild stories about when you were drinking on a night out, I want you to remind yourself of the following.
Not only is your giving up alcohol improving your health in numerous ways, including your not regularly dehydrating yourself, but also your water consumption is good for you for lots of scientifically backed reasons.
It's a double whammy. I've got 15 reasons for you here in no particular order.
Okay.
It's another chart. I always feel like we need like chart music beneath us when we do this.
Actually, I did download some to put on our last one, but it didn't work. But maybe I'll leave some space.
Too much work in the edit.
No, that's countdown. That's countdown. Yeah, sorry, it doesn't work. We can count. It's the same thing.
Anyway, I'll get us going from pee to saliva. That's right. Drinking water increases your saliva. Why is that a good thing? Well, so you can spit on people you don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because saliva includes small amounts of electrolytes, mucus and enzymes that are essential for breaking down solid food and keeping your mouth healthy.
Did you know a lot of spitters at school, Hamish?
Oh, I know that you did. When anyone had a fight at your school, everyone spat on them.
Everyone spat on them, yeah. And
I'm not a spitter, nor do I know like infamous spitting friends.
Yeah, because I've just written a chapter of my new book, actually, Hamish.
About spitting?
Yeah, about people that spit and how I thought it was cool for a while and I tried to get in with the spitty kids because I was like, oh yeah, jeez, they can spit. They all spit on train
tracks.
Was
it because they smoked?
Yeah, they were just like the kids that spat. They would always be hanging around at the train station, spitting on the track, spitting on each other. I was like, oh, they're the kids I want to be.
Spitting on each other.
Yeah, just spitters. You know, you always get a few spitters at school, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I said to George, don't spit.
Usually it was the smokers, though. Like the smokers spit.
They
do like cool ones through the front teeth.
Yeah, they suddenly do a funny, like I would spit and it would probably all dribble down my chin and think I was cool and it would just go horribly wrong. But I used to get some spitters at school that were kind of... Yeah. And it would sort of spit across the room.
Maybe they were the ones that were drinking lots of
Maybe
water.
Maybe they're good boys,
you
actually.
You can improve your saliva. Yeah.
They were mummy's boys drinking lots of water. What good boys they were. Water regulates your body temperature. We both live in a hot and sweaty climate, so it's important we replace the water we sweat out with plenty more.
Lovely. It's sweat chat.
Oh, yeah, sweaty chat.
It also protects your tissues, spinal cord and joints by lubricating them.
Oof.
This will help you enjoy physical activity and lessen the discomfort caused by conditions like arthritis.
I know you love lubricating your tissues.
I do.
Yes. Connected to that, it will help you maximise your physical performance. Athletes can sweat up to 6 to 10% of their body weight during physical activity. Hydration also affects your strength, your power and your endurance.
I like that it's athletes can do 6 to 10%. Do you reckon us being less healthy than athletes, we're like... 20 to 25%.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
just drenched at the end of a really basic exercise. Yeah.
1 minute of exercise and we're like, oh my God, I've lost 10 pints.
I'm sorry to take you back to pee for just a second.
Oh God.
Water helps you excrete waste through perspiration, urination and defecation.
Excrement. That's right. It will also help you prevent constipation.
Little tip, if you're already constipated, you may find that drinking fizzy water... yes, present?
Yes, sir.
You may find that drinking fizzy water as well as plain water can help ease your symptoms.
Why?
I don't know.
That
is true, as in I Googled it. But yeah, I'm not constipated. I'm asking for a friend. I don't poo.
When was the last time you went home?
I don't do poos.
Oh, okay, you've got too posh to poo.
Too posh to poo.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, it just leaks out of that hole in the top of your palate.
I leave pooing to peasants like you.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I poo all the time. That's too much information probably for a podcast, isn't it?
That I don't poo and you poo too
just
much.
Just the poo conversation, it's kind of gross.
It's part of the topic.
It is part of the topic, so we do apologise.
And that's a good
advance.
Little tip, fizzy and sparkling.
Yeah,
Fizzy and still.
I've heard that fizzy water isn't great for you. I don't know where I've read that. Something
to do with your teeth?
I don't know. Something to do with your teeth. Yeah. Rots your teeth away or something.
We're not drinking alcohol. Give us sparkling water.
At least let's have a...
Don't take it away, please.
No more research on sparkling water, please. It's our one joy in lives. Drinking water also aids in digestion. Drinking water before, during and after a meal will help your body break down the food that you eat more easily. This will help you digest food more effectively and get the most out of your meals.
Not only will it help with the breaking down of the food, but water also helps dissolve vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients from your food. It then delivers these components to the rest of your body.
Interesting. Here's a biggie. Drinking water will help you lose weight. That's right. Studies have linked body fat and weight loss with drinking water. Drinking more water while dieting and exercising may help you lose those extra pounds.
I didn't know that was true. That's, yes. Because I think some people drink water to stave off hunger. That's obviously not the healthy way to go about it.
Right.
But yeah, the amount of water that you drink can help when combined with the right exercise and diet.
Yep.
Upping your water intake will also improve your bloody oxygen circulation.
Oh, your bloody oxygen circulation.
I think that was meant to be blood oxygen circulation. I like it, this bloody oxygen circulation.
Go on, get out there and improve your bloody oxygen circulation. It'll help you fight off illnesses including kidney stones, exercise-induced asthma, UTIs and hypertension. UTIs being urinary tract infections, which my daughter had once and ended up in hospital.
Really?
Can be quite severe, especially with old people as well. Yeah, they can be quite damaging. You can die, I think, from urinary tract infections when you're
older. Old people like your daughter were showing your
age.
She
was very young, yeah. No, she was very young when she had it, yeah.
It will help your energy by activating your metabolism. That's water, not UTIs.
Yeah.
One study found that drinking 500 millilitres of water boosted the metabolic rate by 30% in both men and women. These effects appear to last for over an hour.
Okay, that's good. So it helps your cognitive function, improving your focus, alertness and short-term memory. What do you say?
Well, that's not what I said, but that is what it does. I'm with you. I don't really know what metabolic rate is, but that's
your
good.
Overall health, your metabolic rate.
Okay.
Yeah.
It also improves your mood.
Okay, yeah. So go and have some then, because you're a bit moody fucker today. Go on, have a sip.
You're here slagging off John. I'm here slagging off Liz.
Yeah, we're all negative today, aren't we? Water, yeah, don't bother.
Water gets us fired up. Yeah. We've never been this animated on a podcast episode.
Yeah, it's because we are fed up of fizzy water. Yeah. We're trying to defend it, but at the same time, we're like, I'm so bored of fizzy water.
That's what I'm trying to get out of this episode.
I know, I know. Ask me after we finish these top tips, and then we'll know whether you've changed my mind or not. Finally, we've already done a whole episode on how much sobriety improves your skin. That is really thanks to your water consumption and retention. Not only does it keep your skin hydrated, but it promotes collagen production.
I'd say here that there are no downsides to drinking water. Well, no. You found that one on sparkling water. I'm not spending a lot of time Googling the downsides of drinking water, though. However, there is such a thing as water intoxication and hyperhydration. Those can actually kill you if you overdrink water, but that is somewhere above 6 litres a day is what I found. That's when it starts getting dangerous.
Okay. I remember when I was a raver back in the day. We used to go to like raves and stuff. And that's what you do when you're a raver, Hamish.
Oh, that's what a raver is.
Yeah, yeah, that's
Thanks
what it is.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Just so you know. And we used to drink a lot of water. And there was that girl that died. I can't remember. There was a case of basically you drown yourself is what happens. Yeah. But it was one of the things that if you took a lot of ecstasy, which of course I didn't,
no,
Hamish.
Neither.
No, never touched the stuff. No. Terrible it was. But if I did, that was the thing you used to do. But everyone warned. I think it was her name was Leah Betts, the girl that died of
good memory.
Yeah. Of over intoxication of water.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
And in Ibiza, they do the naughty on you that the water at the nightclubs has got salt in it.
Right.
So you have to buy bottles of water because everyone's doing ease and wants water.
Yeah.
You've got to buy a bottle of water there. It's like €12 or something crazy.
So they're trying to make you thirstier?
No, they want you to buy water. So they make the free water that's got the water in the sinks in the loos have salt in it.
So they're not consumable.
So that you go buy it, yeah.
Oh, God. Sneaky. Water's got to be the one thing that's free, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I think there's a law, actually,
so
that you can go in anywhere and ask for a glass of water and they have to give you one. It's shop, anything. You can go anywhere and ask for water and it's against the law.
What countries is that in, though? Not all of them.
As if you're going to get arrested if they say no.
Yeah.
Excuse me, officer, I've been refused. Call 999. The lady at the shop said I can't have a glass of water. Anyway, what we're trying to say is water is not boring. It's actually fucking fantastic. Humans can't survive without it for more than about 3 days, apart from that guy in India.
Yeah. We've got questions about that guy.
But don't try that at home because we think he might be a con man. 60% of our bodies are made up of it, and making it a staple of your liquid consumption is going to radically improve your life, particularly if you combine it with cutting out alcohol altogether.
So next time you feel boring ordering a water when you're out with your friends, just remember the list of positive impacts it will have on your life. And if you hate the taste, then have a little imagination. Dress it up with a squeeze of lime or mint or cucumber.
God, crazy.
Have
days.
It fizzy. Brew a tea with it. Or if you're anything like me, spoil yourself with the occasional elderflower.
You've got to get back on that elderflower farm, haven't you?
I need to do a podcast about cutting out elderflower.
Yeah.
That's our next series.
Elderflower addictions.
Yeah. Elderflower awkward.
Yeah.
There'll be a very niche amount of people in England nodding along. And I
I'm not sure it'll be enough.
It's almost not. It's almost worth cutting out the podcast and save a few people.
I'd like
drink
to see
elderflower.
A documentary about that, like working on the elderflower farms, getting a few leaves in your pockets.
Stole a few,
stealing a few,
crushing them up in my ship container.
Pestle and mortar, getting your pestle and mortar out.
Sniffing lines of the flowers.
Yeah, drug paraphernalia. Oh, do you want a bit of elderflower, mate? Oh, lovely.
Oh, I've got a nice batch in.
Yeah, $20 a gram. Let's finish with an email we received. Oh, no, I've got a present for you. I realise, Hamish, that we forgot your birthday and we forgot your 500 days and we forgot your
600 days.
600 days, which was last week, I think, wasn't it?
We're
so far behind with you with presents, so I thought...
Okay, hang on a minute. Wait. Are you just going to give me one present for all three?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Basically,
nice.
Yeah. So let's pretend, okay, that each present was worth $10.
Okay.
This was $30. So it's the same as getting three presents.
Have.
Yeah.
I know
Hamish, that you are jealous of some of the things that I have in my house. So this is something that I have, which I am now... It's not a re-gift.
Is this John?
No, I bought you a new thing because I know that it's something that you don't have. So quickly, you can just probably pull that off. Yeah, it's got a big parcel here, everybody.
So this is a big parcel.
Yeah, it's a big parcel, okay. And it's something for him to wear around the house to entertain his family at any given moment.
It's a dildo.
Yeah, it's a dildo. It's a big strap on. There you go.
Oh, this is... Yes. So this is... When we did a Christmas episode, Vic was dressed up in a red... blow-up inflatable gingerbread man costume.
Yeah, and I do have inflatable penis costumes as well. Hamish is always very, very upset that he doesn't have his own inflatable outfit, so there you go.
Because you have one and John has one.
Yeah,
so
we've
now
got lots.
We can go dressed up together to parties.
Yes, we can all go in inflatables.
Vic, I don't know what to say. Thank you so much.
And do you really like it that much?
Honestly, I've always wanted an inflatable costume.
I know.
And now I've gone. And even though it's not Christmas, I think I'm going to wear this all year round.
I think you should, yeah. I think Sonny's going to love it.
Sonny will,
or he might
be
extremely
terrified of it.
Scared.
He'll never eat gingerbread men's ever again.
No. I'm going to put you in that in a minute and take a photograph of you. Just for that everybody can have a laugh.
Thank you so much.
This is the gift. Yeah, it is a lovely gift. This is the email we got from Deborah. I could have just peed in a cup for you. That would have been more on par with the episode, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would have been
that
nice.
That would have been more an interesting
just
challenge.
Just one
for you.
Shot each of each other's peas.
Yeah,
the
yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Deborah says, your podcast has been vital to me having ditched the wine 21 months ago. As someone who has quietly given up alcohol with no sober friends, your podcast has been a godsend. I absolutely love it. By far my favourite. It feels so authentic and makes me laugh out loud every week. Fabulous.
That made my day. That's
thank
I thought
you,
I'd include
Deborah.
It. Thank you, Deborah. And also Shakespeare.
Oh, yes.
From Deborah to Shakespeare.
Yep.
So Shakespeare wrote in Macbeth, so the porter, he says that alcohol promotes nose painting, sleep and urine.
What's the nose painting?
I don't know, which is why I included it. There's a lot of questions about nose painting.
Nose painting?
It's not sleep that it does. He's a bit wrong about that. But mainly he says urine. So I thought, great, I can connect us to Shakespeare.
I think that is officially the worst quote that you've ever added to a podcast, yeah. I can't understand it, Hamish. What does it mean?
How many of the quotes that we include do you understand when we're quoting Nietzsche?
Yeah.
You haven't got a clue.
Nose painting. I think we should end, Hamish, having a little bit more of a chat about piss because, you know, it's obviously going to be a an on-point topic for us, isn't it? We like piss, we like talking about willies, we basically like childish behaviour, don't we?
Tell you also, confusing thing that you get in Australia, and this is a Tasmania story, the phrase, I'm drinking piss this weekend,
yes,
does not translate to England or America, or we've listened to this. I thought, that's what the farmer said to me. I said, you're going to come to the party this weekend? I said, no, we're going to stay here and drink piss.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you're going to stay here? There were three of them, and they were all called Dylan.
Yeah. Dylan.
Three Dylans.
The Dylans.
And the three Dylans, I'm going to stay here and drink piss. Yeah. Stay here and drink piss instead of coming to a party in Hobart.
Sounds like a good night in.
I know.
Yeah.
So that turns out in Australia that means drink alcohol, which confused me. But go
on. You're drinking the piss tonight, mate. Well, I was just thinking about piss because it was related to alcohol. And I think about piss quite a lot. I don't have any shame really about my drinking days, Hamish. I was a person under the influence. I was a binge drinker that drank lots of water before I went to bed. This had some consequences, okay? Mm. I once peed in a mate's wardrobe.
Sure.
Yeah. I woke up the next day and I realised I'd done it, and they were like, oh, why are all the clothes wet in the wardrobe?
And that's harder for a girl to do than a guy. So
yes.
You'd have had to get into the wardrobe.
Yeah, I don't know quite how I managed it, quite
honestly.
I don't
remember.
I did have a mate who pissed the bed. Well, she thought she'd pissed the bed. She had slept with someone and he had pissed the bed. And then he told her that she had done it.
Genius.
Yeah.
Genius.
A horrible person.
I would have done that.
That's a horrible thing to do.
That's fantastic.
And another time I got caught on a co-worker's landing peeing on their thick shag pile. I've told you that one before.
You had to quit the next day, didn't you?
Yeah, it was awful. It was the most embarrassing
thing. And they told everyone at
work. They told everyone at work, yeah. So, yeah, there's always going to be a few piss stories. So, yeah, if you have a good alcohol-related peeing somewhere weird story, please email us. Do you have one, Hamish?
I've got one. I had a friend of mine come to visit me in Paris, and he brought a friend of his. And I said, you guys have the bed and I'll sleep on the sofa. And his friend, who I didn't even know, pissed my bed.
Oh, pissed in your bed.
Pissed my bed, yeah.
I think as you become a parent, you get more immune to piss and poo, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you start to just accept it as part of your daily life that you're going to have piss and poo over you at some stage. So it doesn't seem as bad. But I think in those days, I always was really humiliated if there was urine involved.
Yeah. I've done a lot of like trying to pee in a bottle in the car, which never really works.
What, because you were stuck in traffic?
Yeah, stuck in traffic, ready to pee, or they know to pull over on the highway.
It reminds me of my cousin got stuck in traffic on the highway and tried to piss in a cassette box.
Nice.
Yeah, it didn't work.
This episode is sponsored by Shiwi.
Yeah. Shiwi, is that?
I think it's my favourite item that I've never owned.
A Shiwi, or is it a Shiwi? Pad?
It's kind of like a
cup?
Spade, really. And you pee into it and then it funnels it out and pees it like you had a penis. So a woman could do a stand-up pee.
Okay, can you get me one of those?
You know what? You've got me an inflatable Christmas outfit. I'll buy you a Shiwi.
Shiwi, yeah, or sheepy.
And you'd use it. I think you'd use it in the house as well, even when you don't need to.
Yeah, if I'm watching a crime documentary, it means I don't have to get up and go to the toilet.
You can't be sitting down. You've got to stand up.
Oh, what's the point?
You're sort of peeing in a bucket and then it funnels it out and into one clean stream.
Can I not just put the tube into a pint glass where I'm sitting next to you?
You're confused. I need to get a photo of
Shiwi. Yeah, I need to see the sheepy
now. We'll talk about this after the episode.
Sheepy or Shiwi?
Shiwi.
Okay, Shiwi, yeah, okay, excellent. I will report back on this, everybody. We will do some investigation and find out exactly what that contraption, is that the word?
Contraption?
Contraption. That's allotment. We'll find out. This podcast is rubbish, isn't it? Listen to us. We're just talking shit for hours on end. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you're questioning your relationship with booze, you're struggling to moderate, or your hangovers are causing anxiety, it might be time to reach out for some support.
Yeah, just talk to a mate about how you're feeling, contact a local doctor, find an AA or sobriety group. Vic's got one.
Yeah, just head to www.cuppa.community.
Remember, if you're questioning yourself, it might be time to seek support.
Even though this journey can be awkward, it is definitely worth it. And if you've enjoyed the Sober Awkward podcast, don't forget to review it, rate it, and share it with your mates.
They have to share it with their mates?
Yeah, of course they do. I'm not doing this for nothing, Hamish. Bloody hell.
How do they share it?
I don't know. Just write it on the...
Thank you. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So, as you probably know, my comedy memoir, A Thousand Wasted Sundays, is officially out. All my magnificent fuckuppery in one awkward hit. If you'd like to get your hands on a copy, it's now available from all good bookstores.
We always say all good bookstores, don't we? Yeah. Are there bad bookstores?
I don't know. It's probably ones with moody sellers.
Oh yeah, really yeah. Depressed librarian folks.
Yes, yes, okay, yes, good, yes. Good. So there are probably some, but we're only storing it in the good ones.
It's only made it into the goodies.
You can also get it from all good online retailers. The print version and ebook are out now, and the audiobook will be available in March. I've been writing my memoir for 5 years. It will make you laugh, cry and cringe, and hopefully inspire a few people to reconsider their relationship with booze. If you love the podcast, then I think you'll love the book, even if I do say so myself. Hamish has read it. What did you think?
I feel like I know a little bit too much about you now, to be honest, Vic. Look, I really loved it. It was hilarious and surprisingly moving, but I feel like I've seen you naked in a literary sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From an emotional point of view, seriously, it wobbled my teeny weeny wooden heart, Vic.
Okay.
My teeny little wooden heart.
Well, his teeny little, his wooden heart is broken. Anyway, so if you do manage to get your filthy mitts on a copy, please do me a favour and head to goodreads.com and give me a review. Doing that will help me get it out there to those that need a bit of sober support. So there you have it. My story, unwanted warts and all. Come and get awkward with me.
Not to be too demanding or anything, but seriously, go and buy it
yeah,
now.
Yeah, go and buy it. Go and buy it right now.
Yeah, don't just tell your friends. Buy it and then buy your friends one or two.
Yeah, yeah, don't give them a copy. Yeah. Buy it, yeah.
And you know what? Don't be careful where you store it. If you lose it, you can always buy another five.
Yeah, buy another one.
Yeah.